Again, I want to welcome all of you, and it's great to see all of you. The last couple of weeks, I was in Leipzig, Germany, with my wife, celebrating the 500-year celebration of the Reformation. So, yeah, praise God for that. This morning, I'm really happy to talk to you about this topic. It's a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, and it's a very practical one, and that is, how can we discern whether God is talking to us or not? How can we discern God's voice? And this is a really big topic, but I hope to just point out some very helpful insights that's helped me over the years to learn how to discern the voice of God versus the voice of the enemy. And so let's just start in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that we can come here this morning. We ask your Holy Spirit's presence just give us illumination, enlightenment, and Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified in this message, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you would like to hear or discern God's voice talking to you? How many of you? Okay, I'm sure almost every one of you, right? Okay, and you might have had this question before, is how do I know whether it's God talking to me or myself or the enemy or something else? So that's a question that's very important, especially we come here and worship and, you know, we pray and we read the Bible and we try to seek to learn more about God. It's really important to discern when God is speaking to us. And so I wanted to begin with this scripture here. It's John 10, verse 27 to 28. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. And let's read this together. Notice what Jesus says about us as his sheep. Let's read this together. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, ever. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. And you know, that is our good shepherd talking to us. Now, did you notice what Jesus said at the beginning? It says, my sheep hear what? My voice. Okay, so if you're his sheep, And many of you are his sheep, then you should be able to hear his voice, because a sheep will discern very readily the voice of the shepherd. Okay, so today I'd like to just talk about that. How can we discern God's voice from that of the enemy? And so today I'd like to share that three characteristics of God speaking to us. And the first characteristic is this: God's voice is always consistent with his word, the Bible. It's always consistent with the Bible. But secondly, God's voice reflects his character and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Whenever God speaks, it's going to reflect his godly character and the fruits of the Spirit. And thirdly, God's voice always affirms our worth in Christ. It never condemns. Now, there's many things that we can say about God's voice today, but I wanted to just focus on those three insights, okay? Now, the first one is this. When God speaks, he always is consistent with his word. So if you want to learn how to discern God's voice, it's really important for you to meditate on the word of God daily. And that's why we as a church, we do the Living Life devotions. We want to help people to really get into the word each week, and then when we gather for fellowship, we share with one another, okay, or in our small groups, we have accountability partners to share insights with each other, because when we hide God's word in our heart, then the Holy Spirit speaks to us through that. Let's read 2 Timothy verse 3, 16 and 17 together. Let's read that together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And that's each one of you. You know, you don't need to have a seminary degree. You don't have a lot of skills, but every one of us can be able to read God's word and hear from God. Okay? And so one of the important things to ask whenever someone tells us something, is this consistent with God's word? Now, I'm sorry that's kind of small. But basically, this I want to ask you a question. Have you heard someone say this before? If you're a Christian, you'll never experience hardships or trials. God wants all believers to have perfect health, abundant wealth, and peaceful circumstances. Now, this is a statement that was very popular, you know, like in the 90s. Okay, it's called the health and wealth the gospel. Basically saying that God wants everyone to be rich, everyone to just, you know, have a lot of pleasure and everything, and you won't go through any hardships. Okay, I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, is this consistent with Scripture or not? Okay, can you just turn to your neighbor? Okay, how many of you think that this is consistent with Scripture? Anybody? Okay, we have a really good group here, all right? How many of you say no? Okay, most of you say no, all right? So why is that the case? Okay, well, because, you know, the Bible says this here. The Bible says this, "For you rejoice in this, though for a short time you've had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, you know, the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, basically saying that we have to deal with trials when we're in this life. Okay, but, you know, when we go through trials, then our faith is going to be proved genuine. And then one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, it says, God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And so I wanted to share today that the Lord Jesus Christ set us the example. Okay, he knew the word of God, even though he was the perfect Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. But when he became a human being, you know, he became our representative. He wanted to set us a good example. And so when he was tested in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he was trying to set himself as a contrast to ungodly Israel. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, and they rebelled against God. They disobeyed against God. They turned against God's word. But Jesus, God's Son, he meditated on Scripture. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And every day he meditated on the word of God. And so when the devil tempted him, the devil said, "If you're the Son of God, then why don't you turn these stones into bread? You know, why don't you use your powers to show yourself off to the world that you're a wonder-working Messiah?" Okay, and Jesus, He came back and he replied. He says, "We humans do not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay, and so that was the first temptation. The second temptation, the devil took him to the highest point in the temple. He said, "Why don't you just throw yourself down?" Okay, because in Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, it says God is going to send his angels to protect you so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And then Jesus replied, and he said this, "Do not test the Lord your God." Okay, and then, so he quoted from Deuteronomy in the right context. And then the third temptation, the devil took him to the highest point where he can see all the kingdoms in the world. And the devil said, "You know, you don't have to go to the way of the cross. You don't have to suffer. Now you just bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms and their glory." And Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 13. He said, "You must worship the Lord your God, and it's only the Lord that you must serve." Okay, and so he quoted from God's word all three times, and he conquered over all these temptations. And that's the same with us. You know, That is, when we just meditate on God's word, you know, that will give us strength to deal with temptations, to deal with the difficulties, and also we can be able to hear his voice very clearly. Now, the second aspect of God's voice that I want to share with you is God's voice always reflects his character and always reflects the fruit of the Spirit. You know, God is holy, he's righteous, he's compassionate, and he's merciful. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so if you see these things being characterized, then God is speaking to us through that. And then the third thing I wanted to share with you is that God's voice always affirms our worth, and he never condemns us. Okay. Like, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I'd like for us to read that, if you can read that, okay. Let's read that together. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, one of the things that I notice about God is a holy and righteous God. But you know, he always tries to affirm you. He always affirms you. And I wanted to share with you something I found to be very helpful. If we happen to sin or do something wrong, how can we tell the difference between God speaking to us and the enemy speaking to us? Now, this is how God would speak to us. God would say something like this: "Howard, you have sinned. You know, you've done what is wrong, but come back to me and repent, because you're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. And Christ, my son, has died for your sins, and you are holy and righteous to come back to me." Okay, so if any of you have sinned against the Lord would never condemn you. He'll say, "There's forgiveness for you. Come back to me, and I'll welcome you. You're my beloved son." Okay. Now, on the other hand, Satan is an accuser. So this is what Satan would say: "You've sinned again. You're so terrible. God doesn't want anything to deal with you, and God would never forgive you." I don't know about you, but you know, when I was growing up in the Christian life, oftentimes I heard the enemy's voice. Have any of you heard a voice like that? This accusing, condemning type of voice? Okay, you know, that's the enemy. You know, God would never say that. One of the best examples of someone who just imitates the example of the Lord is Pastor Kwan. I have to say, Pastor Kwan is one of the most gentle people who kind of tells us or tells me when I did something wrong. You know, he would just say, "Howard, you know, I'm so glad that you're part of the team. You're such a valuable part of the team. But, you know, there's something I need to talk to you about." And he'll talk to me about, you know, something that maybe I did that wasn't the best way of doing things. And then he'll say, "Can you be able to do this?" And I'll say, "Yeah. I'm sorry, I did that." And he said, "Oh, that's okay. You know, you're such an important part of the team, and I look forward to just serving with you together for many years to come." You know, he's just like God. You know, the Holy Spirit would do something like that. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is that as I've been praying for people for healing and also some inner healing, I've encountered a lot of people. They have this inner voice that is very condemning, an accusatory voice. Okay, and I'm wondering if there might be some of you hearing that type of voice. Unfortunately, it might come from a background of a family that might be emotionally abusive, or, you know, it's just there's a lot of arguments or some divisions in the family. And sometimes you might hear this voice: "You're not good enough. You know, why aren't you better?" Or you might hear a voice that, you know, "You're so terrible. God doesn't want anything to deal with you. your failure. Okay, and I just wanted to challenge you today, if there's any of you, you hear that voice, you know, that is the enemy. And you have to just rebuke that voice. You have to cancel it. You have to say, no, that is not from God. Okay, and so today, later on, as we're praying during our ministry time, if there's any of you dealing with thoughts like that, you know, it would be a good time to get rid of that type of voice. So that's the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice. And then also, wanted to point out that God may convict us of our sins, but he will not condemn us. So this is what God will do. God will tell you specifically what you did, what was wrong, tell you to repent of those sins, and then tell you exactly what to do to live a righteous and holy life. Okay, God, Satan will just say, you're a lousy and miserable person, but he won't tell you what to do. But God would not do that. God would say, you did what was wrong, but this is what I want you to do. Okay? And also, God will always tell you that there is forgiveness for you in Jesus Christ. You know, no matter how many times we've sinned, no matter how miserable we failed in our lives, okay, maybe some things that we did in our past that we're ashamed of, God will always say, there's always forgiveness for you. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all that you've done wrong. And then also, thirdly, God will always affirm how valuable you and I are to him as a son and a daughter. So this morning, I just wanted to challenge us. Are we willing to learn to hear God's voice? Okay. And I'd like for you to just close your eyes for a minute right now. And I'm just wondering if there's any of you listening to this message today that you want to say to God, God, you know, I heard about you, but I've never really heard your voice, or I don't even know what your voice sounds like. And I would really like to know you, whether it's you talking to me or not. Now, I'm just wondering if there's anyone you have this desire to hear God's voice or to discern God's voice. Can you just raise your hand? Any of you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right. Okay. Here's another question I want to ask you. If there's anyone hearing this message today and you want to tell God, God, you know, I want to spend more time to read and meditate on your word. I want the Holy Spirit to really energize me so that I can tell right away that's coming from you. How many of you would like to say that to God this morning? Right, praise the Lord. Right, praise the Lord. Okay. And thirdly, how many of us are willing to keep each other accountable? Maybe we can pray for each other or encourage each other so that we can learn how to listen to God's voice together. Okay. How many of you would you like to do that? Right, praise the Lord. Okay. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time and the prayer intercessors to come up. If you've raised your hand this morning for any of those three things, I'd like to ask you, invite you to come on up and just to receive prayer. I believe that, you know, God really wants to speak to you and impart his presence to you this morning. And I just wanted to share with you that God is your good shepherd, and he loves each one of you very much. Okay, and if any of you have done something wrong in your lives, something that you've been ashamed of, maybe you've heard this voice accusing you over from your family members or from people in your life that's been condemning or accusing you, and you want to be set free from that, I'd like you to come up to receive prayer as well. Okay? Or any other prayer needs, you know, if you have something that you need prayer for, just feel free to come up at this time. Okay? So ask the worship team to pray, and then please come on up to receive prayer.